All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and we are a little late. I'm sorry about that, but we're ready now, and we're going to do Between Two Worlds, and then I'm going to do this Monster Girl beat-em-up, like Orc Monster Record, something like that. We'll do that for a little bit. But let's go ahead and get started. You meet up with the girls outside of their preferred clothing store, Appealing Apparel. In front of the store, Hannah and Emily are chatting happily while Skylar seems apprehensive, falling a bit behind the others. As you enter, Skylar sticks with you, taking off her coat and scarf as the others go to start searching the store. You okay, Sky? Yeah, I guess. Just really concerned what Emily might pick out for me. I really regret agreeing to let her pick out my new swimsuit. I'm sure she won't be that bad. You're still friends, and I'm sure she'd like to keep it that way. I hope so. Maybe she'll at least give me a choice. I bet if you asked, she'd be open to it. She looks at you, hope in her eyes. You're right. I'm gonna go talk to her. Taking a seat, you watch as the girls talk. Skylar kicks at the ground as she speaks to Emily. After a moment, you see Skylar get excited before she hugs Emily tightly. Hannah sits next to you as they begin looking through clothes. She's so funny, she thought that Emily was going to pick out the sluttiest micro-bikini known to man or something. Emily can be mean, but she's not that mean. Of course not, but Skylar was super scared. It's adorable. You don't respond, losing focus as your mind wanders back to the previous night. It's not until Hannah nudges your shoulder that you realize she was still talking. Hey, you alright? Looked entirely spaced out there for a minute. Yeah, I'm good, I think. Looking at her, you decide to talk about the dream. Hey, you ever have a dream that was obviously a dream, but like at the same time felt real, as if it was really happening? Hannah grins at you, whispering quietly. I don't think so. Did my picture make you have a wet dream or something? Geez, not a dream like that. Actually, never mind. I'm sure it was nothing. Just a weird dream. She takes on a more sympathetic look and tone as she moves closer to you. No, I'm sorry, Grim. Tell me what happened. Alright. So, like, Emily and I found this book at the library, right? Last night after we talked, I sat down to read it a bit. It was really weird. I felt strange. I could have sworn I'd only looked at it for a few minutes, but apparently a full hour had passed. So I decided to go to bed, right? Well, as soon as I fell asleep, I start having this messed up dream. I was surrounded by this mist and someone kept laughing at me while calling out my name, but I couldn't see who it was. Then, out of nowhere, this creepy bitch comes out of the mist holding out her hand and telling me to find her. For some reason, I started to reach out to her like it wasn't in my control, but as soon as I touched her hand, I woke up, sweaty. After it becomes clear that your story is ended, she grabs your arm and grins. So you're dreaming about other women now? Really? That's what you took from this? Hey, you're the one dreaming about otherworldly women. Don't blame me for it. Whatever, I shouldn't have told you. Now you're just gonna make jokes out of it forever. She laughs a little, taking your hand in hers. I'm just playing with you, Grim. I'm sorry. But no, I've never had dreams like that. Hell, I almost never remember my dreams at all. You both look to the left at Skylar, who is now headed into a changing room. I'm sure it was just a dream. You shouldn't make it into something it's not. As you try to break your focus from those thoughts, Emily conveniently helps by suddenly appearing before you. Grim, need your help. Sky and I are butting heads on what she should get, and I convinced her to let you be the judge. How am I supposed to be the judge? She's going to show you the two options, and you'll pick the one you think she should get. She is technically okay with both, but I think one is way better than the other. You'll see why. Sure, why not? Let me know when you're ready. Emily waits a moment, then checks on Skylar before returning to you. Okay, she has the one she likes on right now. Let's try that one again. Okay, she has the one she likes on right now. Just go look in the changing room. You get up to approach the curtain. Just as you're about to look inside, you realize that Emily might be messing with you. Sky, Emily says I'm supposed to help pick which swimsuit you get. Is that okay? Yeah, it's cool. You can look. You look inside and she's putting on an awkward pose, trying her best to look good. The swimsuit is slightly more revealing than would be normal for Skylar being open in the middle, but you can see she's comfortable with it. She turns, giving you a look from behind that you didn't ask for, but also don't mind. Of course not. So what did you think? You turn your gaze back up and smile at her. It looks good on you, Sky, and you seem to be happy with it. I actually like it, and it feels nice. Okay, M says I have to show you both, so give me a second. No problem. Stay still or turn away. You lean against the wall next to you, absent-mindedly waiting for the next swimsuit. Skylar just stares at you for a moment before speaking. Grim? Yeah, what's up? Are you going to step out? Oh shit, duh, I'm sorry. You immediately back away from the curtain as you hear Skylar giggle lightly behind you. Looking over at Emily and Hannah, you're relieved to see them looking at clothes on the other side of the store. After a few moments, Skylar nervously calls for you. Hey, you can look now. Oh, I like that one. Turning back and looking past the curtain, you see Skylar has changed into the other option. She's making only a small effort to cover herself, though it's obvious that she's feeling shy in the outfit. You put on a sincere smile, which puts her a little more at ease, doing another spin like last time. She has some musculature, some definition there. This is the one Emily picked out, of course. It's not something I'd ever pick for myself, but it's better than I expected from her, at least. They both suit you well, Sky. It's nice to see you willing to show off a little bit. She blushes a little, smiling and looking down. Thanks. So which one should I get? Emily and I agreed that you get the final choice. You take a half step towards her to get her to look up at you again, returning her smile and trying to help her feel confident. Sky, this is stunning on you, and it's great to see you step out of your usual comfort zone and do something like this. Since you're okay with it, I think you should go with this suit. Show yourself off a bit, you know? She gives you a slight nod, though still blushing. You're sweet, thank you, Grim. She turns to the mirror, putting on a much more confident pose attempt. And I gotta admit, I guess I do look pretty good in this. Alright, I'll let you get dressed. See you in a minute. You turn and walk back to Emily and Hannah, who have purchased their own selections. So, how did it go? I told her to take your choice. She was okay with it, and I'll admit it looks good on her. Skylar joins the three of you, and you leave to head back to your place. Day 8, Thursday night. You, Hannah, and the guys are hanging out around the table talking when Emily arrives. What's up, bitches? Up is a two-letter word indicating direction. And a happy fuck you, Kenny. Get that shit out of here. Kenny grins, happy with himself, while Oscar just rolls his eyes, going to make himself another drink. Hello, Emily. Hey, Skylar isn't here yet? Nope, she's picking up Kaylee before coming here. Wait, her little sister is playing now, too? Nah, nothing like that. Hannah invited her to watch a game. See if she likes it. Yeah, if she does, maybe she can join us later on. I think it'd be cool to have her along. Oscar said he could fit her in no problem. I can just make things a little more difficult. It wouldn't be an issue. Emily grabs a beer before taking a seat next to you. Oh god, just what I needed. New ways to beat on Emily. You know, if I didn't know better, I'd say you enjoy it. She shoots him a look, but it's plainly obvious that there's no malice behind it. What are you trying to say, Oscar? Nothing at all. To each their own, and all that. If you like being choked out, good for you. Before she can form a response, Skylar and Kaylee walk in, disrupting the conversation. Hey everyone, sorry for making you wait. No worries, we're just discussing Emily's personal desires. I'm sorry, what? I never... Hannah jumps up, heading to Kaylee and cutting off Emily. Hey, could you come on? Let's try that one again. Hey, glad you could come. Come on, let me show you some of the stuff about the game. Hannah takes Kaylee to go sit on their own so that she can give her some details about the game world as Skylar gets comfortable. Emily taps your arm, pulling your attention back to the rest of the group. She's taking her jacket off, apparently getting heated from the previous attention. Hey Grim, you want to back me up here? You look over at her. She's standing with her arms crossed, clearly annoyed. With what? Oscar won't stop with his BDSM shit. Tell him it's not true. How would I know if it's true or not? Emily drops her hands to the table, leaning forward while looking back to Oscar, continuing the argument. However, it appears she doesn't realize that she is now exposing herself to you as her shirt feels the effects of gravity. Deciding to be the better person, you quickly stand, moving next to her. You lean forward to whisper in her ear. Hey, Em, got a bit of a wardrobe malfunction there. She looks at you, then down to her shirt. Quietly standing, she pulls the top back to her chest and looking back at you, a slight blush on her face. Thank you, Grim. Sorry about that. No worries, you're good. Quickly deciding that the original argument is no longer worth her time, she sits, taking a drink and going silent. You, Skylar, and the guys continue to talk for several minutes before Skylar calls over to the other two. Hey, Hannah, are you about done over there? The girls look over at the group, closing the book that Hannah was showing to Kaylee. Yeah, I think I've covered the basics. She's picking it up quick. Should be able to get most of the rest while we play. They rejoin the rest of you at the table as Oscar finishes prepping his papers for the adventure. Okay, ladies and germs, we're heading back into the world of Eucora. Everyone ready? He receives general acknowledgments and nods from the gathered players. Oh, wait, Grim, you mentioned you wanted to make a name for your new a new name for your character. Did you decide on a new one? What is your game world character name? Max 25 letters. Alright, after last week's successful adventure, you found yourselves wandering around the countryside for several uneventful days. On the fifth day, you stop to barter with a group of gypsies who have made a camp alongside one of the main forest roads. Oh, they're playing Pathfinder. While browsing their surely ill-gotten wares, you overhear some of the men speaking of a nearby village that had put out a call for help. They provide you with the information after appropriate bribes, and you set off for the hamlet of Artley. Okay. So here we are in the hamlet of Artley. You walk into the uninspiring little hamlet. Mostly run-down homes surrounding a central courtyard area make up the majority of the village. After taking a cursory look around, you head into the middle of town to inquire about their issue. The villagers seem friendly enough, though they pay you little mind. How do you proceed? I bend down and pet the dog. The only dog around is on the other side of the village. I don't mean the village dog. Then what dog are you? God fucking damn it, you do not have a dog. Let's make that clear right now. Aw, come on, Oscar. Moving on, I would like to use diplomacy to try and convince someone to stop and talk to us. Okay, and your check is successful. You get the attention of a young woman who is walking by a young woman who is walking by who has now stopped in front of you. Hello, we heard that your village recently had some problems and had asked for help. Oh yes, about a week ago some creatures terrorized our little community, wrecked several animal pens, damaged a well, even killed a horse. Then they stole the idol of Zaira, which has protected our crops from insects for generations. 2 days later, our farms were infested, and we are at the risk of losing our entire crop for the coming winter. Hey, name's Kessere. Don't surprise you're offering any kind of reward for bringing it back. Emily! Who? Kessere, we're here to help these people not take their limited funds. We are here to do a job, and jobs require payment. Kindness doesn't buy us gear, feed our mouths, or provide us drinks. Before Tosca is able to respond, the woman speaks once more. I do not personally know what the reward is, but I am certain the Elder has one in mind. You should speak to him about it. See, there's always loot to be had. Skylar elects to ignore that and speaks to the woman again. Where might we find the Elder? The woman gestures towards what is apparently the local tavern on the outside edge of the village circle. You'll find Vital enjoying an afternoon drink. It is his favorite pastime these days. Thank you, ma'am. We'll go speak to him post-haste. The woman nods to you and moves off. Post-haste? Seriously? They are simple peasants, not intellectuals. They are more likely to have fucked those pigs than gone to school. You hear Kaylee giggle at that. Oh my god, Emily. Jeez, still need to be nice to the NPCs. Moving on now. You enter the small tavern, which is far better equipped than you expected from the outside. There's only one person present at this time, with most of the village out trying to save the crops. He is significantly older, sitting and staring into the hearth. Who will speak to him? Okay, so we can have Hannah, Taureen, Emily, or Skylar. So Skylar is Tosca. Okay. Just raise Emily. I'll have Hannah talk to him. Hey, Vital, I assume?
I am, and who might you be, beautiful?
My name is Taureen, and we've come about the problem you're having. He looks you up and down before looking behind you to see the others.
Oh, I see indeed.
He looks you up and down once more. I give him a glare, getting closer and bringing out my bow to let him know I see what he is doing.
Well, I suppose a lot of you seem capable enough, and if you're not, well, that's not our problem.
Gee, nice to know you care.
Honey, do you even know what you're after here? Do you know what happened?
We have the basics. One of the women in the square was kind enough to tell us.
And you're still willing to go out there? Interesting.
Hey, it's what we do.
I won't turn you down. If the idol of Zera is not recovered, our village is doomed.
Do you happen to know what these creatures were?
I had never seen such abominations in my life. However, Roskin may be able to help you. She's the cartographer for the region.
How would she be able to help?
She may be able to draw you an image of what they looked like. I sure couldn't.
Maybe give you a map. We shall speak to her then, thank you. Could you give us directions to where she lives?
Of course.
Vital takes a moment to describe the path to take to reach the home of Roskin outside the village. Thank you again. We will take our leave and do our best to return your idol. Emily looks at Hannah, quickly speaking out.
Wait. We need to ask about...
Emily, we'll get to that later. Let's finish the adventure first.
But...
We're always rewarded, you know that. Let it go. Besides, if we're not pushy now, maybe we can ask for more later. She remains silent before nodding.
Fine, but we better get something good.
Vital seems to be ignoring you now, staring into the fire again, lost in thought. Okay, let's head out. You make your way through the village, following the directions given by Vital. Tosca and Thari, you feel like you're being watched. The rest of you take no notice. The two of you roll a perception check. Both women quickly select the appropriate dice and roll them, adding appropriate modifiers. Only a 9 here. I got a 15, is that good enough?
It is.
As you pass one of the houses, you notice someone hiding next to it in the shadows. The person seems to be looking at Kesray in particular.
Hey guys, can we stop for a second? I think I twisted my ankle. Hey Joram, can you take a look at it?
The group gathers around you with Joram checking your ankle.
Joram, don't stop checking, but I'm not hurt. Someone is watching us over to my left. It looked like they had an interest in Kesray.
I would like to try a stealth check to see if I can get a better look.
Sure, roll it. 17.
You're able to get a good long look, the shadows seeming to brighten just a bit. You can see that the person isn't exactly human like the villagers. It is too short, while very muscular, likely male.
At this distance, you're unable to make out much detail beyond that. He suddenly looks at you, realizing he's been seen, and runs, disappearing out of sight. Can we chase? You can if you want, but I'll tell you now that you can't catch him or find anything of importance. He's gone, but I got a good look at him. He was almost dwarf-like, but not quite. I don't really know what to make of him. I wonder what he wanted. No idea, but we'll keep an eye out for him in the future. Come, let's go. The rest of your short trip to Raskin's home is uneventful. You now find yourself standing outside a home built primarily of flagstone. The home seems to be more solidly constructed than the homes in the village, very likely a recent build. I approach the door and knock. There is no response. I knock again, this time with passion. There is another moment of silence. As you are about to look for another option, you hear a clash of noise as if something has been knocked over inside. This is followed quickly by a series of very detailed cursing, mostly related to improper relationships between paladins and their mounts. Paladins, sorry, not paladins. A second later, the door flies open and you are greeted by a female gnome who appears to be quite upset. Oh, good. Humans, what do you want? We come seeking your assistance for our adventure. We wish to help Artly, and you were recommended by Vital. That humble drunkard? Ha! I guess he's smarter than I thought. Never mind that, though. You speak of adventure? Yes, we are going to find and return the Idol of Zara to save the town. Vital said you might be able to provide us with more information about those who took it. Possibly even sketch us a drawing of what they looked like. Ruskin takes a moment to look at the group, seeming to evaluate all of you. Ah, yes, I might be able to do that. I guess you can come in so we can talk. Ruskin goes back inside, waving for you to follow. You enter what appears to be her rather cramped workspace, feeling a bit claustrophobic. She grabs a piece of parchment and begins to sketch onto the surface. So, you think you can handle those creatures, huh? I tell you, they were some ugly things, but most of you tall types are, so that's not saying much. Why does everyone seem to assume we can't manage our business? I believe we're capable. We've handled many such issues. You don't even know what it is you'll be fighting, or even where you should be going. We were told that you're a cartographer. Could we also get some maps of the area while we're here? Perhaps. Though maybe I have a different proposal? We're listening. You see, I was able to hide and watch as Artly was attacked. I saw the direction they went when they left, and I know the region very well. If you want, I'd be happy to come with you as a guide, nothing more. I'm always ready for some excitement. As she says that last bit, she looks over at the Grimlord, a mischievous grin on her face. Well, I don't know about the others, but I don't see a problem with that. Of course you don't. Hey, are you seriously going to turn down someone offering us a hand? Pretty sure she's only offering you her hand, and not in the normal meaning. Rather than argue it, let's just decide. Does Ruskin come with us or not? Real quick, I'd like to use Sense Motive on Ruskin, just to make sure everything is good. Roll it. Kenny rolls, passing the check. As far as you can tell, Ruskin is being honest and nothing is out of the ordinary. Yes, Ruskin comes with you. That was a check. Like, have you never played D&D, guys? Looks like you're coming with us then. Great. It's been too long since I've been out there on a proper adventure. Making maps pays for my projects, but just barely. And it's such a bore. You have appropriate gear, I assume. Oh, of course! What do I look like, some pathetic hobbit? Here's your creature, by the way. Don't expect me to fight any of them. I do have a talent for song, though. Many find me to be quite inspiring during battle.
Really?
Oh, god damn it, of course you're a bard. The most useless class ever. I'll pretend I didn't hear that. Anyway, you should probably see Dagor in the smithy before we leave. He's the only one who really fought the creatures.
We'll do that, thank you. We'll come back when we're ready to leave. I'll be here.
She hops up and starts collecting her things, excited about what's to come. You all take your leave, heading back towards town and the blacksmith. You make your way from Roskin's home back to the village. Having passed the blacksmith previously, you already know the way. Of course, it'd be hard to miss with all the noise coming from the building. Walking up to the door, you find yourself in front of Dagorn, the village smithy. He is currently standing over his anvil, hammering away at a horseshoe. A large black human, he is imposing in figure, and it's obvious why he would be able to stand against the creatures. Oh shit, a brother? I got this! I step up and offer my hand to him in greeting. Heya, name's Joram. You're Dagorn, yes? The man looks at your proffered hand, then back up at you. He is not as welcoming as you seem to have hoped. Alright, my bad, I get it. Oscar tells me all the time that I come too strong. Jesus Christ, Kenny, it's come on too strong. Come on. Kenny grins over at Oscar. I said what I said. Moving on now, Dagorn is now looking at the rest of you as if seeking an explanation. I apologize for my friend. He gets a little overzealous at times. May I assume that you are Dagorn?
I am. And who are you?
I am the Grimlord, and these are my companions. We're here to help save Artley. Ah, I assume that Vital sent you to me. Actually, no. We just came from Roskin. She told us that you were one of the few who stood to fight the creatures during the attack.
That I did. Little good it did.
I did manage to knock a couple of them down, but they seemed to incinerate before my eyes. Tough bastards, too. No matter how hard I hit them, they did not seem to feel pain. Just kept fighting. Is there anything that you can tell us about them?
Sure. They were almost tree-like, to be honest. Their skin, if you could call it that, split like wood, though they still bled.
And they really hated fire, or heat. When I waved my torch at them, they cowered back, wanted nothing to do with it. Okay, that is useful information. Have you ever seen them before?
Gods, no. Things look like they crawled straight out of the depths of the underworld. I wouldn't be surprised if sorcery was involved.
Do you know anything about the idol that was stolen?
No more than any of the others around here. It's been part of the town for as long as I can remember. My father once told me that it was gifted to us by an acolyte of Zera after one of our ancestors gave their life in holy sacrifice.
While I don't know about the story, I can plainly see the result of the loss. Our crops are dying, and what isn't is being destroyed by bugs.
So we heard. We certainly want to help if we can.
Come on now, let's be real. You're here to get paid. Not that there's anything wrong with that. In fact, I'd like to help if I can. Give me just a minute.
Dagorn moves over to the side of the building, reaching into a box he has there. When he returns, he's holding some kind of flask. He hands it to Joram.
This was left to me by my father. Supposedly, the liquid in this bottle is capable of reviving a fallen friend if given immediately.
He gave him a phoenix down. Left by his father.
Wow.
Since you all seem to be our only chance, please take it with you. It may come in handy.
I accept this gift and will use it wisely if needed. If not, it will be returned to you.
If there is nothing else then, I will return to work. May your journey bring you back to us safely, and with the idol returned.
You all turn, leaving the blacksmith to his duties.
You spend a bit of time gathering some basic supplies for the journey ahead. Once finished, you head back to Raskin's home. As you approach, you see the gnome outside, sitting by a bag with what you assume is her gear.
She looks up, happy to see you again.
Oh good, you're here. I was a little afraid that you'd forget about me.
No chance. We told you that you could come, and we keep to our word. Besides, we'd be fools to turn down any help we can get.
Just try to keep out of the way. I don't need to be tripping over you in battle.
Well, that's not very nice.
I guess having such a big mouth means less room for brain sizes with you, huh?
Oscar, I'm gonna kill your new NPC.
He simply grins at Emily before continuing.
Well, if there's nothing else then, we should go, yes?
With no objections, the group plus one chatty little gnome head out of the area.
It's a beautiful day as you begin your journey through the forest surrounding Artley. following the information given by Ruskin. I mean, she's definitely... yeah. The group is in high spirits, starting a new adventure through unknown lands, chasing an unknown foe. You pass the occasional traveler on the road, but none seem to recognize the creatures when you show them the drawing. Tosca, ever curious, does occasionally slow you down as she stops to literally smell the flowers. Hey, there's nothing wrong with taking time to enjoy nature. Yeah. As day turns to dusk, you decide to make camp in a clearing away from the road to avoid wandering eyes. The Grim Lord, as you are setting up your tent, Roskin comes to you.
Hey, the Grim Lord, I have a problem.
Oh, and what would that be?
It appears the fabric of my tent has been eaten by rats and is full of holes. We told you that you needed to be prepared for this journey.
And I was, or at least I thought I was. How could I know that this would happen?
Well, I'm not sure what you expect me to do about it now. I was thinking, since you've been most kind to me, perhaps you'd be willing to share your tent, at least for tonight?
Really, Oscar? You're just throwing women at him now?
Hush, you. So how do you respond?
A gnome? I ain't never done that before.
I suppose there's no problem with that. Oh, good. I was afraid you'd tell me to stay with Kesray. I've been around camels with better hygiene than she has. Oscar, I swear to God. No worries. Besides, you're small, so it's not like you'll take up a bunch of space. I was thinking the same thing. I'll just go grab my bag and be right back. She runs off, grabbing her oversized sack and returning to toss it next to yours. I'll go hunt up some kind of critter for dinner. It won't take long. She runs off into the forest before any of you have a chance to respond. This gives you a chance to finish setting up the campsite. Do you really think it was a good idea to bring her along?
Why not? She makes a good guide, and you never know, we may end up needing her. For what? Bait?
We all know why you said yes. We said yes because it was the smart thing to do, nothing more.
Sure, Jan, keep telling yourself that.
Ruskin runs back into camp, standing before you, proudly displaying her catch.
See? Quick and easy. Give me a little time and I'll have a nice hot dinner for everyone, even the camel.
Ruskin again disappears to clean the animal before cooking dinner.
Night falls quickly, and you all enjoy the meal provided by Ruskin before retiring to your beds.
Ruskin climbs into the tent next to the Grim Lord, looking over you and smiling.
Thank you again for letting me sleep here. It's nice and warm.
You're welcome. Sleep well.
The camp falls silent as the party sleeps off the weariness of a busy day. With the rising dawn, the Grim Lord is the first to wake.
Which is absolutely the most untrue thing about me. I'm like the last person to wake up.
You discover that Ruskin is cuddled up next to you during the night. In addition, she now has her hand placed firmly on your dick with a surprisingly firm yet comfortable grip.
Well, I'll be.
She is slowly stroking you, though you're unable to tell if she's awake or not.
Well, if that's a thing. See, I've heard of sleepwalking and sleep talking, but sleep stroking?
Well,
gotta look up some studies on that.
I shake her awake by grabbing a handful of boob and pushing her back and forth a bit.
I could get used to this.
She looks okay up close.
You could, but you won't. This isn't the time. Come on, we need to get everyone up so we can get going.
Oh, you're obviously interested and we have time.
No, we don't. We have a mission to complete and time is limited. Let's go.
The two of you move from the tent and began rousing the rest of the party. Following the directions provided by Ruskin, you leave the forest and come across what seems to be the ruins of a temple. Another thing you notice is that the sounds of birds and insects that had previously been all around have stopped. It is exceptionally silent.
Can I do a survival check to look for tracks, see if we're I in the right place? Absolutely, roll for it. DC is 15. Hannah rolls, hitting the number easily. You find 6 sets of prints in the grass. They're not human and seem to be made of long tendrils, compacted into a single form. One of the prints seems to be dragging rather than stepping. They are recent, and all are leading to the southwest. Can I tell how recent? Your best guess would be 24 to 48 hours. Is there anything otherwise special about these ruins? Like, did they come through here for a reason? Roll a knowledge religion check. Kenny throws the die, but fails the roll. Nothing stands out to you as special. Seems to be just your run-of-the-mill ruins. I'd like to check the area for traps, make sure they didn't leave anything behind for us. Skylar rolls and easily hits the target number. You are certain that there are no traps anywhere within the ruins' sight. However, as you finish your inspection, you do hear what seems to be a childlike giggle from beyond some of the stonework. Immediately take a defensive stance between the group and the source of the sound. Kesare, it was a childlike giggle, not a roar. All the more reason to be prepared. Children are pure evil. I step forward and call out softly. If you can hear me, you can come out. We mean you no harm. A moment of silence passes before a small voice responds. Shiny one dangerous, will not come. Kesare, stand down. I doubt we're in any danger. Fine, but when the little ankle biter gives you rabies, you better help Jorun is able to fix it. There, you see? We're friendly. You can come out. A small multicolored creature timidly peeks out from behind a pillar, getting a better look at all of you. It takes a while before seeming to decide you might be okay. She comes fully into view, walking towards you and speaking again. You are not tree things from before. You are small. Not that small, I assure you. Oh my god, the Grimlord, stop! No, we are not those things. In fact, we're trying to find them. My name is Taryn. What's yours? Fiona is Fiona. Are these ruins your home? Yes, beautiful stones and plants, but creatures stomp and ruin flowers. Leave dark aura. Your home will recover, I promise you. Is there anything you can tell us about them? One hurt, look burned. Maybe not like fire, not survive long. Must be that one that Dagorn got a hold of. Still, good to know. Thank you, Fiona. Also, we're sorry for also coming into your home like this. We meant no disrespect. It's okay. You're nice. You have good aura. Tharing, we should go. We need to catch those things as quickly as possible. Wait, Fiona will help. Take gift. The small figure runs back to the pillar she was hiding behind and reaches behind it. Reaching the Tharing, you are presented with what appears to be a simple rock. Fiona hands it to you carefully. We'll help you. Show the way. Thank you, Fiona. I'll take it in your honor. Farewell. After a round of goodbye from all, you take your leave from the ruins as Fiona begins working to restore her home. Continuing your journey through the forest, following what you believe is the direction the creatures went, Roskin suddenly speaks up. Come, this way. I want to show you something. The feisty little gnome runs ahead a short distance, then disappears into a section of trees. The Grimlord, can we just leave her behind? We don't need this kind of distraction. Hey now, she hasn't been bad. Plus, as you said, she stayed out of the way. Whatever, I'm telling you, it's a mistake. Something isn't right with her. Come on, we need to follow her. She's our responsibility now, regardless. You follow Roskin through the woods, catching up to her as she clears the trees and enters a clearing. In the middle of the clearing seems to be a monument of some kind, though it appears to have been abandoned long ago. Roskin has run up to it and is now climbing the steps to the upper level. Well, I didn't expect this. Seems safe enough. She's walking all over it and nothing is blowing up at least. You should be able to run a check, though. So, do we check it out then? Might as well. Roskin really wanted to show it to us, so there must be a reason. You walk out of the trees, heading to the overly excited Roskin. She meets you at the edge of the platform. This one was once a shrine to Elena, goddess of fertility. Can you feel the energy? It still radiates from the stone. You do notice an almost electrical feel permeating the air. Roskin, is there any particular reason you brought us here? Oh yes, absolutely. Legends of the area tell of a relic left here that will probably be useful to you. If not now, then in the future perhaps. As the goddess of fertility, Elena specialized in helping those who worshipped her to quickly expand their family lines, if you know what I mean. Oh god, no. The last thing we need is the Grimlords having something like that. It's not for any of you, silly girl. It only works for Elena's worshippers. If nothing else, it would be worth a pretty penny to the right person. Well, that's enough for me. Let's look around and try to find it. Each of you can go ahead and roll a perception check. Kenny and Grim, you may do an additional roll to detect magical items. Everyone does their rolls, with Kenny landing his direct magic and Skylar making her perception. Hannah rolls a 1. Kenny, you can feel a light magical aura coming from the central area of the top marble slab. Skylar, you notice a metallic glint on the edge of your vision in the ground on the east edge of the lower platform. Hannah, you failed to notice your own feet, tripping over them and falling on your face. Take 1d4 damage. I hate you. I really need to order new dice. Swear to God, these things are cursed. Hey, while you're down there, can you pick that thing up? I will climb up on the upper section, looking for the source of the aura. And I'll dig out whatever it is Tosca saw, since I'm already on the ground. Jorn finds what appears to be a long, smooth, slightly curved wooden idol. It is textured with strange writing in bands at various points. Excuse me, but I'm pretty sure you're saying you just found a rib dildo, correct? That is not what I said at all. Moving on. Taryn finds a ceremonial jewel-encrusted dagger, which likely has significant value. Okay, that's better. Some loot, finally. Taryn, as you're getting up and brushing yourself off, you hear the sound of footsteps coming from the forest. Hey guys, maybe we should take cover. Someone's coming. Really? You want us to hide? As if. We stand and we fight if needed. Avengers assemble! Are you allowed to say that? Who cares? Get ready. After a short wait, two men step from the forest, walking straight toward the shrine. They are talking to each other and have not noticed you. Hold there. Who are you and what are your intentions? Well, this is a surprise. It's been a long time since anyone was dumb enough to snoop around here. The loud one looks kind of cute. Can I keep her? After I'm done with her, sure. They have not slowed their advance towards you. The first man is holding a sword while the second wields an axe. I'll take a half step to the side, taking partial cover behind a pillar, and begin drawing my bow back. Do a stealth check, please. Hannah rolls, making up for the earlier one with an 18. Neither of the men notice you, and you're successfully able to hide the action. You boys seem to have many strengths. Stupidity is obviously one of them. You don't need to die today unless you really want to. Oh, she's got spirit. It'll be fun breaking her. They are now within 30 feet. Please roll for initiative. After a quick set of rolls, the battle's order is decided and the fight begins. I let my arrow fly. She steps out from the cover, letting her arrow go. It quickly covers the distance between her and the men, piercing into the shoulder of the second one. He lets out a groan, "Ah!" followed by a shout, "Ah!" yet still moving undeterred. Jorm steps forward from the fountain, putting his hands out in front of him, raising his hand towards the men. "You have no power here. I curse you with bane." The men growl as they feel a drain on their strength, reducing their effectiveness in battle. The leading assailant rushes forward, his blade crashing against Kesre's as she successfully deflects the blow. She immediately returns the swing, catching him off guard with her speed, slashing through his clothes and cutting deep into the skin. The second man, having been struck by Taryn's arrow, continues forward towards her and throws his axe at her. She is able to dodge it, but only barely, taking a grazing blow across her arm. You turn to act. You take a step forward and select a target. Kesrae or Taryn's target? You lift your hand, focusing your energy. A second later, a pair of magic missiles erupt from your palm. Classic. Crossing the distance instantly. The man cries out, "Ah!" as both missiles hit him with unerring accuracy. Tosca uses the shrine as cover, and she moves around to the left, attempting to flank the first attacker. Neither of the men have taken notice of her, as she's able to keep silent. Taryn throws her bow to the ground, stepping forward. She pulls out the dagger she dug up previously and thrusts. He tries to dodge, but she still connects, piercing through the man's clothing and digging deep into his leg. He takes on a limp, but does not go down. Jarm jumps over the rail and moves to help Kesrae, going hand to hand with the thug. The man is able to block partially, taking the punch to the side of the head and staggering a bit. He turns his attention on Jarm, jabbing forward with his sword. Jarm is unable to dodge the hit, the blade piercing his thin leather, mostly being stopped by the chain armor below, but still painful. Kesrae moves quickly to get between them, bringing her own blade up and forcing the man to retreat a step, but is unable to land the blow. Meanwhile, the man fighting with Taryn and the Grimlord seems to realize the fight isn't going their way. You know what? Fuck this, I'm out. I didn't sign up to die. He turns and tries to make a run for the tree line. Anna grins over at you, she runs away. She's content to let him tell his story of how she beat his ass. That's how we do it. We might want to keep Kesrae and Jorim, though. We might want to help Kesrae and Jorim, though. On it. You immediately spin towards the fight between Kesrae and the first man. Jarm has moved away and Tosca is sneaking up on the man. You move quickly. Raising your hands, you summon a massive ball of light near him, blinding and distracting the man. Tosca quickly takes advantage, rushing in, shoving a set of blades deep into his back and twisting. He takes one final gurgling breath before going limp, supported only by Tosca and her blades. She drops the body to the ground. Well, that was fun. Great job, everyone. Jorim, are you okay? Yeah, I can heal it. This tis merely a flesh wound. Tosca moves away, helping Jorim recover. The Grimlord, can you please put your ball away? No one wants to see that. My balls are famous, thank you very much. I'm resisting the urge to do AC/DC's Big Balls, but, you know. You say this as you extinguish the light. Alright, give me a moment while I loot, whoops. Then I think we should get out of here. None of the equipment they had is of any value. You do find a few gold pieces, though. Better than nothing. That sucks ass. Alright, let's go. It's getting into the afternoon and I don't want to travel through the night. You all return through the forest to the road and continue your travels a bit more rich than an hour before. After another hour of walking, you come across what appears to be a hobbit-run roadside tavern. It has been built into the side of a small hill, typical of hobbit architecture, though seemingly scaled up a bit for a larger species. As you approach, Roskin suddenly gets very excited, running forward and speaking loudly. Yes, so happy we took this way. I haven't seen Adagrim in so long.
And who is Adagrim?
A very dear friend of mine. We used to go on little adventures together all the time until he decided to build this tavern. In fact, if I remember correctly, he still owes me money. Just mention my name, tell him I sent you. He'll take care of you. Take care of us or kick us out. Who gave you permission to speak to me? Quiet, donkey spawn. Oscar, if she insults me one more time, I'm going to put my sword through her. Well, it's getting dark. We might as well stop for a drink or two. Maybe see if we can get some information while we're here. The rest of the group agrees, while Emily again threatens to hurt Raskin. Okay, let's go in. You know, if it's all the same, I'm going to stay out here. As much as I'd like to see my old friend again, I never liked this place. Suit yourself, we'll be back soon. You go inside the small tavern, which seems to be having a slow day, as only two people are currently inside. Relaxing atop a bar stool is an older hobbit having a conversation with the other man. That would be a Proudfoot. He quickly looks over at the group of you, grinning at the expected new business. Hopping down from the stool, he rushes over, introducing himself as Adelgrim and offering a wide assortment of drinks. Welcome, welcome! So happy to see you! Come in, warm yourselves by the fire! Thank you, sir. We appreciate the comfort. We're also hoping to possibly get some information. Oh yes, that is something I have as well. So many people pass through here on a regular basis. And of course, after a few drinks, they love to talk. Speaking of drinks, we were actually recommended to come here by someone who says they know you. I know many people. Who might you be speaking of? Does the name Roskin ring a bell? His previously cheerful demeanor suddenly turns dark. He gives a resounding harumph, turning away, and returning to the bar. Guess so. Not as good a relationship as we were led to believe then. That little bitch cost me an incredible amount of money. If you're friends with her, then you're no friends of mine.
I know that song. We can dance if we want to.
Told you, she can't be trusted.
Whoa now, I didn't say we were friends. I said she pointed us in your direction.
That is marginally better, I suppose. Still, I prefer not hearing that name again while you're here.
That won't be a problem, and I apologize for upsetting you. Now, how about a few drinks?
No offense, but you'll need to pay up front now.
Sure thing. Here's a few silver coins. Start us a tab. You all place some drink orders, and Adelgrim rushes to fill them. The single other customer remains silent and staring into his drink. After giving you your drinks, the hobbit looks back to you.
So, what information do you seek?
We are following some creatures that attacked a distant village, Artling. They stole a rather important item, which they need returned. Do you know of any strange sightings in the area recently?
He looks up and he tries to remember any gossip that might help. As he thinks, the man sitting down the bar speaks up.
You speak of the tree monstrosities.
I guess I do. I have not seen them personally, but others have compared them as such.
I've seen them, or at least I've seen a glimpse of them. Terrifying things, I recommend that you stay away.
Unfortunately, we do not have that option. If we do not return what they stole, an entire village will perish.
The man looks at you, The man looks over at you, thoughtful. If you cannot be dissuaded, then that's your choice. Your death will not be on my conscience. To the south, about a 2-hour walk, you'll find a stream leading into a cave. Inside the cave, there's a large flat wall. The one I saw came through that wall. It blocks a tunnel leading through the mountain to a grove with an old castle. There is some kind of magic that controls it, but I don't know the details. I have no magical ability. No worries, you've been very helpful. Thank you. Your next drink is on us.
Adelgrim quickly makes the most expensive drink he offers, sliding it down to the man.
That's coming out of your cut, the Grim Lord. People are supposed to buy me drinks, not the other way around.
Will you all be needing a room for the night? I only have one available, though, so it might be cramped.
No, that's okay. We'll make camp in the forest. Thank you, though. Speaking of which, finish your drinks. We should head out before we lose the light.
Everyone downs the last of their contents in their mugs, and you head into the forest again, making camp under the stars. As you finish settling... Well, they are settling, technically. As you finish setting up your camp, Roskin appears, looking up at you and grinning. So, do I get to bunk with you again tonight? Sure, why not? Yeah, I don't see why not. We can keep each other warm. Sure, warm. I bet you'll stay warm, all right. Hey now, no need to be like that. It gets cold at night. We all know how you keep yourself warm at night. Just make sure you don't keep us awake with your rutting. Did you just refer to me as a pig? If the hoof fits... Roskin looks at you, the Grimlord, obviously angry at this verbal assault. If my bedroll is empty later, it's because I'm strangling this bitch. All right, let's just chill out and have some dinner. With that, you all settle down around the fire, silently having dinner, as Roskin and Kesray shoot daggers at each other with their eyes. You quickly finish off the meal and have some time to discuss the adventure by firelight before heading to bed. Tosca pulls out the dagger that was found in the shrine, looking at it closely and cleaning the dirt from the blade. I wonder if this thing has any purpose. Of course it does. With the handle on it, we should be able to get a few gold for it easily. Maybe we can mill it down ourselves. That's not what I meant. Like, it was obviously important for it to have been there. I bet the priest used it to sacrifice virgins. That'd be such a waste. No one should die a virgin. And I'm sure you'd be willing to make the sacrifice yourself to ensure it never happens, right? Hey, it's a dirty job, but someone has to do it. Anyway, look here. There's some writing that I can make out. The text reads, Hanja Verjuravor Ethlorm Galjeva Jrolor Jong. Nope, and there's nothing weird that's in my house right now. Nope. I wonder what that means. Grim and Kenny may do knowledge rolls to see if they know what it means. Kenny fails his roll horribly and begins to recite goblin poetry. You succeed in your roll. The text translates to mean, they who are of the light may pierce any barrier. Weird, so does that mean it's magical in some way? There does not seem to be any magical aura emanating from the dagger that any of you can detect. Why does any of that matter? We're just gonna sell it anyway. Maybe we shouldn't. If it was just a random loot to sell, it probably would be more boring. Can we at least get it appraised at some point? If we're not going to sell it, I want you guys to pay me my share of what it's worth. We can do that. But I agree with Taurine. There might be something special about it that we don't know yet. Good. Anyway, Joram, what's up with your dildo? I know you're making a joke, but I think it might have actually been used as one. I could feel the magic coming off of it when I found it, almost as if it were vibrating with power. So it definitely has a use beyond selling, so don't even bother suggesting that. Are you able to read any of that raised text? No, you cannot. It's been worn down over time due to extensive use. It doesn't seem like it. I think I'll take it to a temple next time we're in a major city, see if I can find out anything about it. Well, this is boring then. Let's get to bed so we can get an early start in the morning. If there's no objection? No. Alright. You all head to your beds to sleep out the night. Skylar, please roll for perception. She rolls, barely making the target number. Tosca, you awaken early in the morning, the moon starting to give way to the rising sun. The camp is partly illuminated, but still a little dark. You hear what you believe to be You hear what you believe is footsteps crunching leaves nearby. I grab a blade and quietly move to the front of the tent to look around. You see a small form in the camp. Someone is crouched down behind one of the tents looking at something. Can I sneak up on him? She rolls, hitting a 20. Oscar sighs, clearly annoyed that she had bypassed something he had planned to do. Not even the blind would hear you as you creep across the camp, your target unaware of your approach. You hear a slight gasp as you press your cold blade to his neck. Move a muscle and you die. Understand? The creature nods, now stiff as a board. Hey guys, rise and shine. We've got an unexpected guest. The rest of you quickly move from your tents, ready to fight if needed. You watch from a small distance to not interfere, though. I summon an orb of light above them and approach to support her. With the increased light, Tosca is now able to recognize the creature as the one that was spying on you in the village before. What are you doing here? I was hungry and you have food. I thought you might not miss it. I remember you from the village. You were watching us, so I'll ask again. What are you doing here and what is your name? He sighs audibly, shoulders slumping in resignation. My name isn't important. I was hired by Vital to follow you. The village elder? Why would he want you to follow us? It's nothing personal. You were just the ones who happened to take the job of finding whatever it is you're after. I got the impression that he didn't want it to come back, if I'm being honest. Why do you say that? Well, he told me that if you did manage to get it, I was supposed to steal it and run off to make sure it didn't come back to the village. What? Why? No idea. Strange man he was. Something was off about him. Couldn't put my finger on it, though. But if the idol isn't returned, the village will perish. Don't think he cared, really. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's what he wants. Okay, but why are you telling us this? He didn't exactly pay me much. Sure as hell not enough to risk my life. And right now, my life seems to be in your hands. So what do we need to do to get you to give up on your little mission? Are you kidding? I've already been paid. I have no ties to that man or his shitty little village. Your blade is enough for me to call it quits. Joram, your thoughts? I'll use sense motive to see if he's being honest. He rolls his die, getting a total of 21 with bonuses. He seems to be telling the truth and wants nothing more to do with any of you. Seems okay. I think we can let him go. Tosca lets him go, pulling her blade from his neck. He rubs the skin for a moment. Thanks for the vote of confidence. So can I go then? Yeah, get out of here. Just know if we catch you following us again... Yeah, I get it. You'll kill me. Don't worry. I'm done. With that, he runs off, not giving any of you a second look. So what the hell was that? Seems like it's a setup. Vital sent us on an adventure that we can't actually complete? To what end, though? Why would he want his village to suffer, much less be destroyed? No idea. Maybe we can ask him once we get the idol back. So we continue, then? Of course. Just because Vital is a piece of shit doesn't mean the entire village should suffer. Besides, I'd like answers. Sounds good. Well, we're up now. Might as well pack it in and get an early start. We have a bit of a hike to the cave. You all proceed to have a quick breakfast before packing up camp and settling back out. Okay, so this is where we're going to end it for now. Getting very interested in this. Yes, there's not that much sexual content, but there's definitely some sexual content. It feels like a real D&D game. I'm really getting into it. Fascinating. I've never played one like this. So definitely worth my money. And again, if you want to buy it, you can get it on Patreon, of course. There's itch.io. I believe it's on Steam as well. Not on GOG yet, maybe later. And of course, you have F95, as the developer said, you can pick it up there as well. So, at any rate, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and I will see you guys next time with more Between Two Worlds on Grimm's Uncanny Valley. Oh, and also, I've got another stream coming right up where we're going to be playing Record Orc Monster Battle Thing. So you guys stay tuned for that.